Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA and iHeart Radio Station.
Good morning, Orlando. Great to have you with us bright and early on a Tuesday morning at 6 for our first look now at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540. And on the iHeartRadio app, I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, he pulled the trigger twice, more in 1 minute.
We'll be talking about that, but first, Governor DeSantis named one of the top 10 finalists for Time Magazine's Person of the Year. I'll tell you why I think it's a big deal. And could he win it? Let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
6:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. New details are surfacing regarding the deadly shooting that killed an off-duty Brevard County Sheriff's Deputy. Larry Spillman reports.
Records show Deputy Andrew Lawson pointed a gun at his roommate, Deputy Austin Walsh, before pulling the trigger twice. Lawson told investigators he thought the gun was not loaded when he jokingly pointed it at his friend. The 23-year-old men were taking a break from playing Call of Duty Saturday morning when a bullet hit Walsh in the head and killed him. Lawson is facing manslaughter charges. Larry Spillman, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
There's a change at the top of the Tampa Police Department. Mayor Jane Castor says Mary O'Connor accomplished a lot during her short tenure as the city's police chief, but in the end, it all came down to upholding department standards.
This is something that our police department standards that we uphold, professionalism, integrity, ethics, to ensure that the community has that respect and trust of the Tampa Police Department.
O'Connor was asked to resign after body cam video showed her trying to use her position to get out of a ticket during a traffic stop in Pinellas County. In Georgia, Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker are making their final pitches to voters ahead of today's runoff. Trey Thomas has more.
Speaking on MSNBC Monday, Warnock called his opponent unprepared, unqualified, and unfit.
The people of Georgia are showing up. And I think it's because they understand how much is at stake. We've seen record voter turnout.
Walker said on Fox News, not voting means more of President Biden and other Democrats.
And if you vote for Herschel Walker, you're going to get someone that's going to give you a voice in Washington. Because I'm going to be with the Georgia people. I always will be with the Georgia people.
Recent polling shows Warnock has a narrow lead in the closely watched runoff. I'm Trey Thomas.
Florida gas prices are still dropping. AAA reports the statewide average price for a gallon of gas is $3.25 a gallon, down another 2 cents today. It's been a struggle for much of the season for Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback Tom Brady, but he found a little of the old magic in Tampa on Monday night against the New Orleans Saints.
For most of Monday night's NFC South matchup against the Saints, Tom Brady and the Bucks offense looked inept, but trailing 16-3 late in the fourth quarter, Tampa put together two touchdown drives to pick up a 17-16 win. The 45-year-old Brady throwing for scores to cap off each of those drives, with the second TD pass to Rashad White coming with just 3 seconds left in the game.
Underneath, and touchdown! Rashad White!
The win improves the Bucs' record to 6-6 on the season, and Tampa moves a game and a half ahead of Atlanta in the NFC South standings. Meanwhile, it was a crushing blow for the Saints' chances of winning the division. New Orleans dropped to 4-9, now 2.5 games behind the Bucs. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 6:05. Viral video shows an angry snake on the hood of a car driving on a highway. Watch it online at WFLAOrlando.com. That's also where you can win tickets to see Steve Martin and Martin Short at the Dr. Phillips Center. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. Great to have you with us here on a Tuesday morning. Oh, I breathed a sigh of relief when I took attendance this morning. Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, Guy Roberts, and Lizzie Steele. Lizzie, I thought you and I might be doing the show just the two of us for the first time ever, which would be really shorthanded because you and I couldn't make it to the iHeartRadio holiday party last night in downtown Orlando, but Alan and Guy did. But they made it back, so we're all together this morning. Good time, guys?
Yeah, great time. A very nice venue. I'd never been there before. Elixir in downtown Orlando. Great bar, a great outside patio they had.
Yeah.
Great turnout by the iHeartRadio employees here in Central Florida. Guy?
It was your first one, right, Guy?
Yes, it was my first one. The food was delicious. Everyone was really nice and on their best behavior. I did not know that was going to happen. I thought there would be some craziness. But
There normally is.
It was really good. I got to meet Alan's friend, and she was very lovely to my wife, and I appreciate that.
My friend, yes.
You had a sweetheart on your arm, that's the word.
I have a friend, yes, it's true. And I hate to admit it, I had not one but two glasses of Sprite. So I was just off the rails completely.
Yeah, I had a couple.
Yeah, and you can tell when Guy has been imbibing because the volume goes up. Now, we all know that Guy has a big voice. We hear it on the air every morning.
Uh-huh.
It gets even bigger with a little encouragement.
Well, at least I didn't do anything dumb.
Well, as far as you remember, yeah.
I don't know. I got a few spies who are checking on you who haven't checked in with me this morning. So we'll leave that for further consideration. By the way, for folks listening here, what is the best or the worst thing about company Christmas parties? Let us know on the text line 23680 or make a talk back in the iHeartRadio app. The Time Magazine Person of the Year. The top 10 finalists include Governor DeSantis. Let's talk about it in a moment after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Headlining a local story we'll be talking about with you in the next half hour of the show. The Orlando City Council yesterday voted unanimously to approve an ordinance to categorize downtown restaurants, bars, and nightclubs differently. They say the move is aimed at improving safety following last July's mass shooting in front of Wall Street Plaza that is still unsolved and left 7 people injured. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
We gather in the next half hour of the show. I'll be asking my mates here and you, what in the world in that ordinance they passed in the city council yesterday in Orlando does anything to make going out on the town in Orlando, downtown or anywhere else, safer? I'm scratching my head thinking, what are they trying to sell us here? I think the thing is a joke. I'll tell you what needs to be done if you want to make it safer than it is. We'll get to it next half hour. This is a real shocker to me. Time Magazine tomorrow will name its Person of the Year. The title goes to the person or persons who most affected the news and our lives for good or ill and embodied what was important about the year for better or for worse. That's how Time Magazine defines
what determines the person of the year. And it's all done internally by the Time Magazine a staff of executives. Hardly anybody in the magazine, which is not what it was, not as popular as it once was. So this is not as big a deal as it once was. And hardly anybody knows who it's going to be. They have a poll, and they ask people to vote, but they don't actually get to influence the final result. It's all done internally. So, and it's not necessarily somebody who's heroic. Adolf Hitler was the person of the year in 1938, but I just gave you the definition. I was shocked yesterday to see that our governor, conservative Republican Ron DeSantis, is among the 10 finalists for Time Person of the Year in 2022. As I wrote in my blog, which you can read at WFLAOrlando.com, this award dates back nearly 100 years. The first Time Person of the Year was Charles Lindbergh when he flew solo across the Atlantic in 1927. I don't think Time will let DeSantis win, even though Person of the Year, as I said, is not always a positive award. I just cannot see the lefties who make decisions at Time Magazine giving the Republican Party's rising conservative superstar this much publicity. Do you? I mean, let me give you the list of the top 10. Okay, DeSantis is on it. Here are the rest. Elon Musk, who won it last year. I don't see that happening twice in a row. The Chinese dictator, head of the Chi-Com, Xi Jinping. The United States Supreme Court is on. Liz Cheney is on the list. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. Then Mackenzie Scott. Who's that? That is Jeff Bezos, the Amazon multi-gazillionaire's ex-wife and philanthropist. The protesters fighting for freedom in Iran. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary and former Federal Reserve Chairman, and gun safety advocates here. Can I tell you something here? They're not going to give it to DeSantis, but it's remarkable that he is even on the list, gang, because no Floridian has ever won this. I don't know whether there's ever been a finalist in Florida. I can't find a list like that. But no Floridian, I went back 100 years, 95 years or whatever it is, and no Floridian's ever won it. So he actually has a shot, which is quite remarkable. I say you can look for the person of the year to either be finalist Liz Cheney because Time hates Trump and Liz Cheney hates Trump. Or it could be the U.S. Supreme Court because the liberals at Time hate the Supreme Court's ruling overturn Roe v. Wade. It could be Ukraine's President Zelensky taking it to Russia in the war that Russia declared. So we'll see. But I still think this is remarkable, and I think it further enhances Governor DeSantis's national profile if he chooses to run for president. They talked when the Alan when they laid out why DeSantis was on the list about sending the migrants up to Nantucket, and also the big battle with Disney over the parental rights and education bill, wrongly called by critics the Don't Say Gay bill, etc.
Yeah, they also cited,
and the landslide win over Crist.
As I was about to say, yes, the landslide victory over Charlie Crist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, were you as surprised as I was to see him on the list here? I think there's no way they'll give it to a conservative Republican. I don't see it, but I thought it was quite remarkable, and I wanted to know your take on that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised one way or the other.
Really?
I haven't read a Time magazine in 25 years.
Yeah, it's not as big a deal as it once was, but they make the announcement on the Today Show every year, and they're going to do that on NBC tomorrow of who it is, and they get a lot of coverage here, and this is nothing but good news for DeSantis. And a little bit more on why I think this is so extraordinary in just a moment. I'd like to know what you think about this. And
okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Anybody think he could actually win the thing? 407-916-5400. Text line is 23680. And make a talk back in the iHeartRadio app if you got something to say on this topic. Good morning, Orlando, at 618. An update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Headlines now. Former President Trump is insisting he doesn't want to terminate the Constitution. Trump responding to backlash after he said over the weekend on Truth Social the Constitution's rules and laws should be suspended over the 2020 election. In posts on Truth Social, Trump said he meant that steps must be immediately taken to right the wrong, referring to his claims of election fraud. Updates at least every 10 minutes on the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
News Radio WFLA. This is Good Morning Orlando. Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680.
Good morning, it's Guy Roberts. And News Radio WFLA wants to make your Christmas wish come true. And now what's on your Christmas list? Maybe you need help with the bills. Perhaps you need presents for the kids. Or you might want something special for someone special. Well, you're in luck because we're granting Christmas wishes all across America now through December 16th. Let us grant your Christmas wish now at WFLAOrlando.com/promotions. And that's all brought to you by NetSpend. We want to grant your Christmas wish. And by the way, Merry Christmas.
Oh, there you go. Guy, while I have your attention, your reaction to Governor DeSantis being named one of the top 10 finalists for Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
I would vote for him, but I know that is not going to happen. They're not going to put his face on that magazine. Nope.
I don't see him doing it. I think they're doing it in a way to try to make this liberal rag look fair and balanced. See, we put a conservative Republican up there.
Look what we did.
But they wouldn't have done it if there was no way to defend putting that person up there.
Now,
I think that when you take a look at DeSantis and that incredible landslide win, and he's got a book coming out, you know, the Florida Blueprint for Republican victory and all of this, he is clearly, when you look at the presidential race in 2024, he is kind of the new fresh face on the block and the rising GOP superstar. I mean, still, I think overall advantage Trump, but DeSantis is a newsmaker. And I think it's historic because I don't think there's ever been a Floridian who has won this. As a matter of fact, I know there has not. Trump won it in 2016 when he became president. But he wasn't living in Florida then. He didn't move his residence until much, much later in 2020, actually. I also looked and I found that, well, the Apollo 8 crew that flew around the moon and read from the Bible on Christmas Eve in 1968, the three of them, Frank Borman, Bill Anders, and Jim Lovell, all of whom apparently are still alive, age about 90 to 95 or so, in 1968, they were named collectively the Time Persons of the Year. They were launched from Florida, but none of them apparently lived here. Lizzie, what about DeSantis on the list here, which is historic in its own, even though there's no way he's going
to
win it?
Well, listen, look at it like this, okay?
Yeah.
Say the Time Magazine, which seems to be a very liberal magazine, sees DeSantis running for president and winning. Don't they want to be on his good side for interviews in the future?
Now, you know, that's an interesting thought. You know, maybe they're saying, hey, come on now, you know, you don't want to talk to a liberal rag like us. But wait a minute, we put you on the list. Nobody apparently has ever been on the list, from the state of Florida. Have a governor on the list of finalists is really, really rare. I think you make an interesting point. Maybe they're setting up what they consider to be, some kind of an access to DeSantis along the way. Alan, any further short take on this? I mean, you said what is true. You haven't read Time Magazine in a long time. It used to be an absolute powerhouse, and I freely say it's not as prestigious as it used to be, but it still gets a lot of national attention on a show that does very, very well, the Today Show, and they will make the announcement of the winner tomorrow. So I think it's good news for DeSantis, and I think it's unusual to have a governor, and we've never had a Floridian who has won this thing.
Well, you know, while nobody's really reading Time magazine these days, the Time magazine Person of the Year story does get a lot of publicity. So for DeSantis, it's already a positive because he's getting mentioned by us here and by others in the media.
On the text line right now, I wonder if Time is pushing DeSantis to drive him higher than Trump. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another, I predict DeSantis will win it. Why? Time knows it will generate a lot of sales. Florida's a big red state, resulting in a lot of magazine sales, and Republicans across the U.S. will boost sales as well as ad revenue for 2 years, as DeSantis is considered a candidate for president. Another, Time magazine, a liberal rag. I just don't see them putting DeSantis in a positive light and putting him on the cover. And another, and here we go again. So, Bud, DeSantis is being considered for Person of the Year. Great, I'm all for DeSantis. But I'm noticing a pattern here, too, bro. Every chance you get, you use negative news against Trump. You spend 3 hours doing it. Really? Not true. Not true at all. But for you, DeSantis could do no wrong. Not true. Not true. You don't realize it, but you're not only putting Trump down. I realize everything I'm doing on this show, okay? You know, I'm just going to wake up and wing it here. We prepare the show carefully here, and I know what's in it. You're also pushing, he goes on, some Trump supporters away from DeSantis, as it seems you were trying to shove him down our throats. Listen, trust me. If Trump were named a finalist for Person of the Year, and he would be eligible, even though he won it as president in 2016, we'd be all over the story and leading with it this morning. And you know it's true. Alan, here comes the news.
Hurricane season ended last week, but forecasters have their eye on a potential storm, and the Magic try to end a big losing streak. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Thanks, Holly. Weather looks really great here, but as we turn it over to my co-host, Alan Spector, for your bottom-of-the-hour news update here, what's going on way out in the Atlantic, buddy?
Well, hurricane season is over, Bud, but a potential subtropical system is churning in the Atlantic. Richard Pasch with the National Hurricane Center says the low-pressure area does not yet have well-organized circulation.
We're looking at the models. They do suggest that it may try to take on some subtropical characteristics over the next few days. Could certainly acquire the strength of a tropical storm. Winds are near gale, already near gale force, well to the northeast of the center.
Cyclone formation over the next couple of days. The chance for that, 40%. Pasch says the potential storm should stay out in the Atlantic. As expected, the Orlando City Council has approved a law that redefines what's a restaurant, a bar, and a nightclub. The council's trying to go beyond security checkpoints with a plan to make downtown Orlando safer. Council members say the new rules allow businesses to be governed by rules that are unique to them. Brightline is getting additional funding from the federal government for a new safety initiative. Larry Spellman with that story.
The grant money of $20,000 will be used for an online campaign to target zip codes that are located on the route of the company's new extension from West Palm Beach to Orlando. The railroad system began testing its trains to go 110 miles an hour in mid-October. Officials want to remind people to follow traffic laws and to stay off of active train tracks. Larry Spillman, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
NASA's Artemis 1 Orion spacecraft has finished a moon flyby maneuver, and now the craft is headed for home. Fox's Trace Gallagher reports.
The space agency says the capsule and its test dummies came within 80 miles of the far side of the moon and flew over a couple of Apollo landing sites. Capsule now set to splash down off the coast of San Diego this Sunday.
If all goes well with this mission, the next big step is expected to put humans in orbit around the moon by 2024. The Magic's losing streak stretched to 9 straight with a 109-102 home setback to the Milwaukee Bucks last night. Orlando slipping to 5-20 on the season. The Magic hosts the Los Angeles Clippers tomorrow. WFLA News Time is 6:34. You can win a VIP trip to New York City to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Enter to win at WFLAOrlando.com.
Headlines now, and keeping our eye on a story we'll be talking about with you again in the 7 o'clock hour. The Brevard County deputy who shot and killed his roommate and fellow deputy inside their apartment down in Palm Bay on Saturday pulled the trigger not once but twice, according to the arrest affidavit. Andrew Lawson told investigators he thought the gun was unloaded when he jokingly pointed it at Austin Walsh and pulled the trigger twice, firing one bullet that struck Walsh in the head, a fatal injury. And the story, we'll pursue it, and we'll talk about it here. Does the story of a total tragic accident still hold up? Updates at least every 10 minutes on the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
The aftermath of that horrible story with one deputy shooting another to death here, and what appears and what is we're told is just a terrible accident, whether or not that story now holds up with the news that I just imparted to you. So we'll be talking about it in the 7 o'clock hour. Right now, I want to talk to you about what happened in the Orlando City Council yesterday, headed by Mayor Buddy Dyer, who can get the council to do just about anything he wants them to do. And so it was that on a unanimous vote, they passed an ordinance yesterday in the interest of enhancing safety at bars and restaurants and nightclubs, not only in the downtown district, but also this would apply throughout the entire city of Orlando. I'm all for that. But I don't see how anything they did takes us in any way in that direction. But I'm not the smartest guy out there, as you know. That's why I call upon my mates who are really smart and members of the smartest audience in talk radio to help me understand something I cannot understand. And that is that they are billing this as a move to enhance safety. It all stems from the still unsolved mass shooting in the Bar District down by Wall Street and Orange on the last night of July this past summer. 7 people shot and wounded. They all could have been killed. Miraculously, they all survived. But incredibly, the cops still have not arrested anybody. It's unbelievable to me. There were so many people there, so many cell cameras going, and they can't find out who did this. But this is where all of this stems from. So they come up with this ordinance yesterday that classifies restaurants, nightclubs, and bars differently. A restaurant is now defined as an establishment that makes 50% of its money serving food or more. Bar makes 50% or less of its money serving food. And then there's the nightclub category here. They have security checkpoints around the Wall Street district there on weekends now. We haven't had any more mass shootings, but we have had some incidents of violence. I've got to tell you, gang, I take a look at this, and I'm all for enhanced safety, but I don't think that this is anything other than window dressing so that the politicians look like, the mayor and the council look like they're actually doing something to make the nighttime entertainment experience safer for the people of this great city. To me, there's only 2 ways to do it, and nobody's talking about either. Follow the Rudy Giuliani model when he was the mayor of New York City in the 1990s and cut crime dramatically by flooding the streets with cops and aggressively pursuing lawbreakers. That would help. The other is, you know, is to confiscate all the guns, make it all a gun-free zone in the city of Orlando, and that is outrageous, and I would never, ever support that and would fight that with all the fiber in my body. You know, I mean, people have to be able to defend themselves and exercise their Second Amendment rights to bear arms. And, you know, I think that politically the mayor may want to go in that direction, but I can tell you that that's not going to happen either. People would rebel, and they should. So, you know, the one option that works is to really, you know, We need more cops, and we need them out there on the street, not behind the desk.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Other than that, I don't see how you enhance safety for the public. I don't know how you do it. And I don't think you can force these establishments to pay for security on their own and to hire cops they probably, many of these small bars and restaurants, couldn't afford. A lot of them are barely afloat as it is. So anyway, somebody help me here with this ordinance where we redefine and classify what a restaurant, a nightclub, and a bar is, and this is going to somehow make things safer. Mayor Dyer said yesterday that this paves the way for the ability to regulate certain establishments that operate after midnight differently instead of lumping restaurants, bars, and nightclubs all together as before. Well, how does that make anything safer? Please help me. I don't get it. Anybody see it my way? Or do you think they're really doing something really, really good? And will you feel safer as a result of this ordinance? Let's talk after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. This Florida headline for you now. A former congressman from Miami under arrest. Federal agents took Republican David Rivera into custody in Atlanta yesterday, almost 3 weeks after he was indicted by a Florida grand jury. He is accused of acting as an unregistered agent for Venezuela while running for the state legislature. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando.
So I don't think this new unanimously passed downtown Orlando safety ordinance will do anything to make downtown safer or anywhere else in Orlando where there's nightlife. Do you? And what is the answer to enhancing public safety and cutting down, you know, on the amount of open gunplay and crime when law-abiding citizens are just trying to get out and enjoy a nice night on the town somewhere here in the city beautiful? Because this applies beyond the downtown district. What's going on here? I think this is window dressing. It's look good, feel good stuff. Full of a little bit of sound and fury, as Shakespeare would say, but signifying nothing or very little in terms of enhancing safety. Let's bring in Pete, who's listening from Longwood this morning. Welcome in, and what are your thoughts on this ordinance and my take on it?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, so I believe what Buddy Dyer and the council is trying to do is change the verbiage on all of the establishments there for concealed carry. If I understand it properly, you know, you're not allowed to carry a weapon inside a bar, but some of these might be classified as, you know, restaurants, and he's trying to change that so that you're not allowed to carry. But this incident on, was it July or something?
July 31st, seven people shot, yeah, as the bars emptied out, no arrests.
Yeah, so were they in the bar at the time, or was it a drive-by?
No, it wasn't a drive-by. It was in a crowd as people spilled out of the bars at closing time at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a whole different story, because if it was a drive-by, you know, what they should do, and I've been downtown a good number of times, they really need to block off more of an area downtown so that the cars can't get into where the people are. And, yeah, I mean, you know, changing the verbiage is going to help, because obviously whoever was there shouldn't have had a gun. They could have said that, you know, he was allowed to carry a gun into the establishment if it was.
But what you think they're doing is they don't want to get people like us all jacked up, but they're quietly laying the groundwork for major gun control in these establishments.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what that is. That's the reason why they're changing the language.
We'll save the tape and remember your call. Pete, thanks for listening to the show. Alan, Guy, Lizzie, anybody? Because maybe I'm just missing it. I just don't see that this does anything to enhance safety.
Yeah, I'm not sure changing the rules at the venues is going to really help anything, because from what I understand, and I'm not an expert on what goes on in downtown Orlando, I only hear things from people who do go down there, that there are gangs roaming the streets down there, and this is where this violence comes from. And if you think these gangs care about what the rules are at a restaurant or a bar or a nightclub, I think you got another thing coming.
Guy?
Well, last night we were downtown, and, well, even though it was a Monday night, I felt relatively safe. The only problem I had was I was being sized up or eyeballed by a bunch of homeless people on the walk back. They need to take care of the homeless problem down there, because some of them can get very aggressive, let's just say.
That's been a problem in this town for years, not necessarily directly related to this whole thing about enhancing safety, but in a way it is, because if that kind of behavior turns people off and turns people away, you know, gun violence does as well, but being harassed by panhandlers does as well, and that hurts business, and these bars and restaurants and nightclubs, of course, are trying to do business, stay in business, and make some money. So I don't know where they're going, and it's very interesting that Pete would call in here and say that they think they're masking an effort toward gun control down here. At some point, they're going to have to own up to that after doing it, but there was no talk that I am aware of yesterday in the Orlando City Council, headed by Mayor Buddy Dyer, when they passed this ordinance unanimously. Just feel-good stuff. You are going to have to get a handle on the gang violence in this town. You are going to have a police department that can find the bad guys and arrest them and set them up as an example to others not to break the law. And when you have seven people wounded in a brightly lit downtown bar scene in late July, with cell phone video undoubtedly out there, and you can't make an arrest more than 4 months later, you got a problem with the confidence of the people to feel safe in your city. We had a drive-by outside a nightclub in Orange County, and that was at the end of October. Six people shot and wounded, still no arrests. We're pro-law enforcement here. You know, but maybe the sheriff's office and the Orlando Police Department needs to step it up and be more of a presence for the public to see and for the bad guys to fear. Maybe we're not where we need to be in that regard. To the news now and Alan's preview.
Yeah, it turns out that Brevard deputy pulled the trigger twice. And Brady and the Bucks rally on Monday Night Football. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA and iHeart Radio Station.
Good morning, Orlando. It's Tuesday morning on the 50,000-watt front porch here at 7. Welcome aboard for our latest look right off the top of Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still at AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, new details are surfacing following the Brevard deputy shooting. More in 1 minute.
And does the story as reported now hold up or not? Let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
7:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. It turns out the Brevard County Sheriff's deputy who shot and killed his roommate and fellow deputy inside their apartment on Saturday pulled the trigger twice. According to the arrest affidavit, Andrew Lawson said he thought the gun was unloaded when he, quote, jokingly pointed it at Austin Walsh. He told investigators that the first time he pulled the trigger, the gun did not go off. He then pulled the gun slide back and pulled the trigger again, which fired one bullet, and that struck Walsh in the head, killing him. Tampa's top cop is off the job, Rick Hoschel reports.
Police Chief Mary O'Connor submitted her letter of resignation after body camera footage showed her flashing her badge and asking to be let go from a traffic stop in the Tampa Bay area. Tampa Mayor Jane Castor requested and accepted O'Connor's resignation. Castor called it unacceptable for any public employee, especially the city's top law enforcement leader, to ask for special treatment because of their position. Assistant Chief Lee Burkall will continue to serve as acting chief while the city searches for a permanent replacement. I'm Rick Hoschel.
A former Congressman from Miami is under arrest. Federal agents took Republican David Rivera into custody in Atlanta yesterday, almost 3 weeks after he was indicted by a Florida grand jury. He's accused of acting as an unregistered agent for Venezuela while running for the state legislature. The U.S. Supreme Court is signaling it may side with a web designer opposed to same-sex marriage. Lori Smith is at the center of this case, and she spoke after oral arguments.
The right to speak freely is guaranteed to each and every one of us, and a win for me is a win for everybody.
Smith refuses to create wedding websites for same-sex couples because it's in conflict with her religious beliefs. The court's conservative majority appeared to favor her First Amendment rights over Colorado's anti-discrimination law. The court is expected to issue a decision in the case at some point before its term wraps up in June. A new report says hackers with ties to the Chinese government stole millions of dollars in U.S. COVID relief benefits. Mark Mayfield has more on that.
NBC News reports the China-based hacking group known as APT41 stole at least $20 million through Small Business Administration loans and unemployment insurance funds in more than a dozen states. Officials confirmed to NBC there are currently more than 1,000 ongoing investigations involving transnational and domestic actors defrauding public benefits. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The Bucks are celebrating a dramatic victory on Monday Night Football at Tampa. Tom Brady engineered a fourth-quarter comeback with two late touchdown passes. Trailing the New Orleans Saints 16-3, he connected with Cade Otton with 3 minutes left, and then with Rashad White with 3 seconds left. Bucks win 17-16, but Brady said he was not the only hero.
You know, at the end of the day, our guys made the plays this weekend. Mike made plays, Chris made plays, Cade made plays, Rashad made plays, Lenny made plays, Julio made some great plays. Everyone contributed.
Tampa Bay improves to 6-6 on the season. WFLA News Time is 7:05. Poison Center reports for child marijuana use jumped by 245% over the last 20 years. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. And that's where you can enter to win a chance to let iHeartRadio grant your Christmas wish. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Good Tuesday morning. We are so glad you're with us alongside my co-host, Alan Spector. Bud Hedinger, along with Guy Roberts, our executive producer in the control room, and Lizzie Steele by his side. We are going to delve more deeply into the very latest developments on this horrible story out of Brevard County, where one young deputy is now charged with manslaughter for shooting and killing his roommate and best friend. And was this just a tragic accident? Does that story fully hold up now with the new information that Alan has been bringing you in the news? What do you think is the truth? What other circumstances do you think might be involved beyond what we have come to know? We'll be talking about it. But last night was the iHeartRadio holiday party at a really nice venue downtown. Lizzie and I couldn't make it, but Alan and Guy did. And Guy, you've turned into a holiday party animal because you were partying with our station, and you got an even more amazing Christmas party to go to with your wife, right?
Yep, this weekend we're flying up to Atlanta. Her company is flying us up there and putting us up in a nice hotel, and it's a black tie affair, and it's just amazing food, dancing, live band. They don't have a DJ. They always hire a live band, and it's a really good time up there.
And all expenses, right? The company's picking it up. This is awesome.
Whatever we pay for, we turn the receipts, they pay us back.
Nice.
This is going to be tough on you. You needed to train for this holiday season, Guy.
Oh, I've been preparing.
Always ready to go. The the Good Morning Orlando resident party animal.
Yeah,
Guy
was partying last night, and I have to apologize, Guy. As I left Elixir, I accidentally stepped on your hand on the way out, and I'm sorry about that, but, you know.
I'm just glad you guys showed up. I'm just glad you showed up. Lizzie and I were thinking it could be real lonely here on this Tuesday morning after. Anyway,
it was a really good time. Thank you, iHeart, and thank you, Elixir.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, good deal. Like to hear that. Terrific. At any rate, in a moment.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The story with the deputy shooting and killing the other deputy in Brevard County. Tell you what we know, and we'll discuss the things that maybe we'd still like to know after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes here on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines now. The White House dismissing Twitter's release of internal emails dealing with the suppression of a New York Post article in October of 2020, just before the election, about the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop. In a briefing yesterday, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre called the release of the so-called Twitter files a distraction full of old news. Elon Musk promises more smoking guns, more old Twitter files. We'll see whether or not Jean-Pierre feels the same when they come out, which is expected shortly. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WFLA Orlando.
Had a lot of interest in this story we're talking about again today, and as new information comes out, we are revisiting it here on the 50,000-watt front porch. And inviting your input and your commentary as 23-year-old Brevard County Deputy Austin Walsh is dead, having been shot to death by his reported good friend and roommate and fellow deputy, 23-year-old Andrew Lawson. 407-916-5400 if you want to weigh in on the phone. The text line is 23680. You can make a recording with your commentary and send it to us. Just go to the iHeartRadio app and the TalkBack feature. It's very easy to do. So we care about what our audience thinks. It's not all about what we think here. That's why we call it the 50,000-watt front porch. You know, the old front porch before the days of air conditioning, where everybody would gather in the evening in the neighborhood and talk things over. That's kind of what we do in a modern electronic way. So here we are. The news that came to light yesterday was what is contained in the affidavit in the wake of this horrible tragedy being billed by the sheriff, Wayne Ivey, as an unnecessary, totally avoidable accident, taking the life of an amazing young deputy and forever changing the life of another good young deputy who made an extremely poor and reckless decision. So they were, here's what we are told, and I guess as close to what, you know, what we know as we can get at this point. And I want to know whether or not you think the story of just a tragic accident, innocent accident, holds up fully, or whether you have some questions. They were playing the video game Call of Duty in the wee hours of the morning. It was just the two of them and some other friends as well. They took a break from the game. Apparently it's a video game, and they got actually kicked off for not being active in it. And so they were playing around with the gun. And, well, here's what's in the affidavit. According to the affidavit, Deputy Lawson believed the gun was unloaded and jokingly pointed it at Walsh, pulling the trigger. The gun did not go off. And this is new from what we knew yesterday at the time. So Lawson manipulated the slide back before pulling the trigger for a second time. This time, a single shot was fired and struck Walsh in the head, killing him. This is what the affidavit shows. Lawson said he still believed the firearm was unloaded, but should have known the magazine containing ammunition was possibly in the firearm just by the added weight of the gun. Lawson immediately called 911, described as distraught and devastated. They were called by Sheriff Ivey the best of friends, and they were roommates. Does the story of a pure accident hold up fully when you realize that the deputy pulled the trigger a second time, made an adjustment, and pulled it a second time?
That makes it not an accident, bud.
Does that mean he intended to kill him, or just that, you know, I scared you once, now I'm going to scare you again? Even though you and I both know that there's no ammunition in the gun. You know, we've all been playing Call of Duty where, correct me if I'm wrong, guy, because you have played it and I have watched it, but I have not played it. The object is, you know, to kill your opponents.
Yep.
That's it. But hundreds of millions of people have played this game, you know, without a violent incident resulting. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm not trying to make a link here. But maybe there was that kind of mentality, you know, with having played that game and then it carried over. But this changes the story to you and changes your feeling about it based on the new information coming to light in the affidavit. Is that right?
100%. I will give my thoughts here in a little bit.
All right, well, I'm going to get Lizzie involved in this. We're going to get Alan involved when he comes back in to join us from the newsroom here. I would like to know whether or not they ran any blood tests for alcohol, for drugs. I haven't heard anything about that. The fact that the gun was fired once, nothing happened, and then an adjustment was made, and the trigger was pulled a second time, does that change the story? Does this, as just a terribly tragic accident, hold up to you or not? All right? I don't know what the truth is here. I just know what we have to work with from the police affidavit. What are your thoughts here this morning on this horrible story out of Brevard County? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Make a talk back in the iHeartRadio app and join the conversation any way you can. After we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes, we'll talk about it some more with you. Good morning, Orlando. It's 718 now. Headlining a story we talked about at 6, and we'll talk about it for you folks joining us at 8 o'clock. Governor Ron DeSantis among 10 finalists for Time Magazine's Annual Person of the Year. Time cites the governor's clashes with Disney over the so-called Don't Say Gay bill and called his November re-election the Republican Party's most significant win. Time will name the Person of the Year tomorrow. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Chiming in, call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680. This is Good Morning Orlando on News Radio WFLA.
Good morning, it's Guy and Lizzie here. Did you ever wonder where Bud gets his show topics from, Lizzie?
Out of his brain?
No, you can go to Bud's GMO blog on our website, and you can replay the day's show right there. Go to WFLAOrlando.com and click on Good Morning Orlando page. You can also listen to the show on the free iHeartRadio app because we put all your music, radio stations, and podcasts into one easy-to-use app, and we made it completely free. Because let's face it, you got to do some Christmas shopping.
And also while you're there at WFLAOrlando.com, you can enter to win tickets. Oh, we're giving away all kinds of cool stuff. Go to WFLAOrlando.com to check it out.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. We're back on this horrible story out of the Brevard County Sheriff's Office where a 23-year-old deputy, Andrew Lawson, is now charged with manslaughter with a firearm, which in the state of Florida carries a maximum penalty upon conviction of up to 30 years in prison. The victim, reported to be his good friend and colleague in the sheriff's office, Deputy Austin Walsh, both 23 years of age. And we're focusing on the news that we didn't have yesterday, that Lawson pulled the trigger jokingly. Gun didn't go off. Affidavit says Lawson manipulated the slide on the revolver and pulled the trigger for a second time, and it did go off. And we're wondering whether or not that changes at least your perception of the story here, which has been billed by the sheriff's office as just a terribly tragic, dumb mistake. Was there some malice here? I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. Lizzie, further thoughts?
Heaven forbid if this was an accident, or heaven forbid if this was actually intentional. I don't know. I just find it hard to believe that you go click once. Oh, it doesn't work. Let me pull the slide back. Let me try again. And this being an accident.
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, you point a gun at somebody's head and you're joking around and your friends, you know, and you pull the trigger and it doesn't go off, why in the world you would make an adjustment to the gun and pull it a second time. That is disturbing to me. Where it ultimately leads us, I don't know, of course.
Yeah, but yesterday a caller brought up an interesting point. Mm-hmm. If we might see toxicology reports out of the investigation to see if judgment might have been impaired by alcohol or drugs.
Yeah, it's an issue I raised when you were in the newsroom. I really want to know. There should have been blood tests done for alcohol and drugs. And if that's been done, I'm not aware of any reporting on that at this particular point. Are you?
I have not seen it yet.
No.
See, my stance on this is you pulled the trigger once. Why are you going to do it again? And second, this is going to sound a little harsh, but if any of my friends ever, quote unquote, jokingly put a gun in my face, I'm going to jokingly punch them in the mouth.
Mm.
You never point a gun at someone unless you intend to shoot them. This was not an accident.
It doesn't make sense to me how you can just point a gun at somebody, one, and then two, go, ha, 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 click.
Texters, pulled a gun a second time? No, premeditated, but first-degree murder. Deputy shooting story doesn't sound right, another texter writes. Glock semi-automatic pistol should not chamber a round after a dry fire or a dud round. He would need to rack the slide to load a round. Let's see. Here's a former special agent weighing in, saying he would never dream of doing something this stupid. Some saying, you know, they're just awfully young to be sheriff's deputies at age 23. Maybe if they were older, the incident wouldn't have happened. 23 is too young for the job. Richard of Lake County, he shot him in the head. That was not an accident. I would charge the guy with first-degree murder, not manslaughter.
Exactly. Bud, I don't know if you know how guns work, but if it was not chambered and he pulled the slide back, he now chambered a round. He knew what he was doing.
And should have been aware, the affidavit says, and apparently it was him admitting it, he should have known the magazine containing ammunition was possibly in the firearm by the additional weight of the gun. Fair to say? Anyway, there'll be more to come on this story, and we will continue to follow it for you and talk about it with you. It's the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour, coming up to halftime already. Boy, we got here quickly this morning on a Tuesday, and we are glad you're with us. Alan's a news update just ahead.
The tropics are active, even though hurricane season wrapped up a week ago, and a Florida Gators football star is turning pro. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, Guy Roberts, and Lizzie Steele with you on a Tuesday morning. You're 10 minutes away from us being joined by News Radio WFLA national correspondent Rory O'Neill on today's Georgia U.S. Senate runoff. Stay tuned on that. But right now we turn it over to Alan, and the tropics are percolating. Hopefully there's nothing out there headed our way, Alan.
Well, let's see, Bud. Hurricane season is over, but forecasters are keeping an eye on a low-pressure area in the Atlantic that has a 40% chance of developing into a subtropical system over the next couple of days. Richard Pasch at the National Hurricane Center says the area does not have well-organized circulation yet, but even if it does organize, it should stay out in the Atlantic.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
To restore damaged homes to livable conditions so that Floridians...
By the end of the week, probably its potential to be a subtropical cyclone will end as it moves farther to the north over the cooler waters of the Atlantic.
Pasch says a storm outside the official hurricane season is abnormal, but it does happen. The recovery from Hurricane Ian continues. At Punta Gorda, Governor Ron DeSantis announced the state will provide $25 million to buy building materials such as sheetrock, drywall, and studs.
To restore damaged homes to livable conditions so that Floridians can move back into their own homes.
The governor says so far 2,000 people have applied for food assurance and transportation through the Unite Florida portal that was launched 2 weeks ago and 1,500 for housing. Former President Trump is insisting he does not want to terminate the Constitution. Trump responded to backlash after he said over the weekend the Constitution's rules and laws should be suspended over the 2020 election. In posts on Truth Social, Trump said he meant that steps must be immediately taken to right the wrong, referring to his claims of election fraud. According to new research, teenagers' brains are aging faster due to pandemic-related stress, Trey Thomas reports.
A study published in Biological Psychiatry Global Open Science shows teens experienced higher levels of depression, anxiety, and fearfulness than before the COVID pandemic. Researchers found signs of premature aging in the MRI scans of a group of teens taken before and at the end of the first year of the pandemic. I'm Trey Thomas.
Florida Gators quarterback Anthony Richardson is leaving the program early and will enter the 2023 NFL Draft. Richardson announced the news yesterday, saying he will also skip UF's game against Oregon State in the Las Vegas Bowl. WFLA News Time is 7:34. Elsewhere. Some sad news for fans of this TV classic. Emmy Award-winning actress Kirstie Alley has died after a brief and private battle with cancer. Her children made the announcement yesterday, saying she was surrounded by her closest family and fought with great strength. Alley is best known for her role in the popular 80s and 90s sitcom Cheers. She played Rebecca Howe, foil to bar owner Sam Malone.
When you first meet a guy, you put him in one of three categories. Yes, no, or maybe. And the second I saw you, I threw you right in that no category, and that's where you stayed ever since. I mean, when Sam Malone walks into a room, I say no and go on with my life.
Actor John Travolta said on social media that he and Kirstie Alley had one of the most special relationships he's ever had. The two co-starred in a series of films, including the romantic comedy Look Who's Talking. Kirstie Alley was 71 years old.
She was probably one of my first crushes.
Oh, I bet you had a lot of company in that regard, too. No doubt about it. Alan, this was a real shocker. I mean, this just seemed to come out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, as I said, it was a brief and private battle with cancer, and I believe she was being treated over at the Moffitt Center in Tampa.
Yeah, Ted Danson, who played Sam on Cheers, spoke of her in just the most glowing and loving terms, and so did Kelsey Grammer, too. Really, just a real outpouring of grief here.
This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away. Old Blue Eyes is headed for the Great White Way.
And now the end is near, and so I face
the final curtain.
Actually, the curtain's going to be rising on Broadway for a musical about the life of Frank Sinatra. Sinatra the Musical will feature some of the late singer's greatest hits, such as My Way, New York, New York, and Strangers in the Night. Everybody, you know the words.
I do.
Doobie, doobie, doo. Doobie, doobie, doo, doo. Frank Sinatra's daughter Tina is one of the producers, but there's still no word on when it will open on Broadway. The musical is set to be directed and choreographed by Tony Award winner Kathleen Marshall.
I love me some Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
The absolute key to the success of that is picking the right person who can look and sound like Frank Sinatra. That'll be interesting to see who they come up with for that role. That would be awesome.
It will. And finally,
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nope, they're not in Kansas anymore, but they're still in Tampa. Most of the residents of Tampa, Kansas, are enjoying a free four-day vacation in the Florida city of the same name. Santiago Coriata with Tampa's tourism agency Visit Tampa Bay says it's a gesture of goodwill for the holidays and a way to get some publicity in the Midwest. Southwest Airlines and local hotels covered airfare and lodging for approximately 100 residents of Tampa, Kansas.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know there was another Tampa.
Now we know. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. Listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector, and look for more of Good Morning Orlando in just a couple of minutes, along with an update of news, weather, and traffic.
Headlines right now, and a story we'll be talking about with you in detail in just a moment. To Georgia voters heading to the polls today for that state Senate runoff election between Democrat Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories throughout the morning here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
Seems like we've been hearing about this Georgia runoff Senate race forever, but today is election day in the Peach State just north of us, and let's get a handle on exactly where things stand on this race between Warnock and Walker as we welcome in News Radio WFLA national correspondent Rory O'Neill. Rory, where do things stand?
Bud, good morning. It's funny. I just clicked on an article called Georgia Voters Are Tired. You can only imagine. They had an extra whole month of these political commercials on their radios and on their TVs. They must just be exhausted and ready to get beyond this. And we'll get a result by the end of the day today, we suspect. The big question is, who's going to show up to vote today? Nearly 2 million ballots were already cast before the polls opened less than an hour ago. So the question is, how much motivation is out there for a person to go vote when there's just one race on the ballot?
Yeah, Rory, and Georgia voters are also coming off two Senate elections in the past couple of years, two very close ones, including the one that elected Raphael Warnock, the Democratic incumbent that Herschel Walker, the Republican, is challenging.
Well, I laughed. Senator Warnock pointed out he has run for this office or has had five elections for this office in the past 2 years.
Mm.
So he has been in permanent campaign mode for quite some time.
Yeah, speaking of campaign mode, Herschel Walker has gained notoriety for some unique things he has said on the campaign trail. For instance,
outside the box,
evaluating the difference between werewolves and vampires is one thing he addressed. How exactly is Herschel Walker running so close in this race?
Well, you know, so in the November election 1 month ago, no one got more than 50%, which is why we're having this runoff. There was Senator Warnock had about a 37,000 vote margin of victory there, but it wasn't enough. And Governor Brian Kemp in Georgia, a Republican, very popular. The thought is he really helped to boost and bolster those numbers for Herschel Walker. And that, you know, when we count the votes today, there's a good chance that this actually may not be a close race at all, because a lot of Republicans are not big fans of Herschel Walker. And he was really the candidate who was picked for this race by Donald Trump.
But they are big fans of gaining a Senate seat for the Republicans. The latest polling that I'm seeing on this has the Democrat Warnock up over Walker by about 2 points. So it's still doable today. And a lot of Republicans, let me say, tend to vote more on Election Day than doing the early voting thing. So there may be a whole lot of them out there who all of a sudden are going to create a surge and take Walker over the top. It's been an ugly, ugly race, hasn't it? I mean, you know, charges of domestic violence and hypocrisy on abortion leveled at Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock's ex-wife talking about being battered and abused by him. I mean, I get to the point now, right now, I think there's voter fatigue because of it's just been going on forever. But I just wonder whether everybody in Georgia is just sick of these two guys and don't want to vote for either one of them.
Well, right. And I think everyone's holding their nose when they go to the ballot box and cast their ballots in these races. But to your point, yes, control of the Senate is probably what's on the line. You know, that's what's being promoted by the Walker campaign. You know, think of what this means on the bigger scale.
Yeah, but it isn't really control of the Senate. The Democrats have got that already. This would just make it if the Democrat won it 51-49 instead of 50-50, right?
Well, right. But, you know, having 51 means now you have a majority on the committees, which could be important.
Right.
If there's a Supreme Court vacancy, now you and all the nominees that Biden puts forward now will get confirmed with a majority of Democrats controlling the committees. Right now they're split 50-50, so things are a bit more difficult. Plus, you know, now you take away that kingmaker crown from Joe Manchin in West Virginia. It does give a bit more breathing room for Democrats to negotiate deals.
We'll watch the votes come in. WFLA national correspondent Rory O'Neill, thanks for the update on the Georgia Senate runoff happening today.
Let's talk about this, how this is apt to go. Rory, thank you so much, and we'll do it all right after we do this. Update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic for you in a quick 2 minutes here on Good Morning Orlando and a very good Tuesday morning at 7:48 now. Check of headlines for you now. The police chief over in Tampa tried to get out of a ticket. Now she's out of a job. Mary O'Connor announcing her resignation less than a month after she and her husband were stopped by a Pinellas County sheriff's deputy on a golf cart for not having proper plates displayed. During that stop, O'Connor can be heard saying that she had hoped the deputy would just let her go because, hey, she's the chief. Updates at least every 10 minutes on the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Welcome to the 50,000-watt front porch. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
College basketball season in full bloom right now, and we're your Gator Nation station, broadcasting all of the Florida Gator games right here on News Radio WFLA. A reminder, we've got Gator basketball tomorrow night right here on News Radio WFLA. We're playing UConn, and it'll be an 8:30 p.m. pregame tomorrow with a 9 o'clock tip-off here on WFLA. Go Gators! Talking about the Georgia Senate runoff election here, still doable for Herschel Walker, who at one point was the handpicked candidate of former President Trump. It's very interesting, though, the Trump campaign and the Walker campaign agreed not to have Trump come up and do one of his stadium or arena rallies here. He participated reportedly in a video rally last night on behalf of Herschel Walker's candidacy. I'm no fan of Raphael Warnock, who's just another left-winger Democrat, but I just think Herschel Walker, while he's a football hero in Georgia, certainly leading them to the 1980 national championship in college basketball and then having a really strong career in the National Football League, you know, I just don't see Herschel Walker just doesn't come across as a really strong candidate. And his appeal as a sports hero, I think after a while, wore thin and maybe disappeared. But having said that, this race is really close. I was looking at 538.com, and they do a lot of political reporting and polling, and they're really up on what's going on. And they say it's a two-pointer right now. It's a narrow margin for the Democrat Warnock, but that Herschel Walker can still win this thing. And I think one reason he can still win this thing is because...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Republicans, by and large, vote in greater numbers on Election Day than Democrats. And I think you got a lot of really motivated Republicans out there who may not as a group be wild about Herschel Walker, but they're a lot more enthusiastic about having a Republican hold that seat than to allow Democrat Warnock to continue holding it. So I have not given up hope that Herschel Walker will pull this thing out. But, you know, that this whole system has to be redone where these elections in some of these states are just allowed to go on and on and on. I don't see that there's anything good that comes from that. You know, having ballots sit around forever creates all kinds of doubt about election integrity. And this fatigue is real. And you just get sick to death of it. And we should be feeling good about our elections and the process, not exhausted and turned off by them. We've got to change these rules, and these got to get them changed at the state-by-state level. You know, so it's done like Florida has learned how to do it now. Get it all done by late night on Election Day, and that is it. Hard to argue with that, right, Alan?
Yeah, you know, and back to the Georgia Senate race in particular, when we were talking to Rory, I wasn't kidding when I asked Rory, how is Herschel Walker polling so strongly? How did he perform so well in the first election, and appears he will perform very well in this? Because it seems to me, if you listen to him speak, he seems totally unqualified to be a member of the U.S. Senate. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you on that, and I guess we'll see how it all shakes out today.
Well, it and may show Republicans care more about their party than they do about the integrity of the U.S. Senate.
Well, I think we are that divided on a partisan basis that you can get to the point where you can say, you know, maybe I don't feel Herschel Walker's a good candidate or really well qualified. I'm going to hold my nose and vote for him because I hate what the Democrats are doing to this country.
Yeah.
And anything we can do to stop that or slow that process down, I'm willing to do by voting for a Republican I may not really care for.
And I'm not picking on Republicans because this happens on both sides. You know, Democratic voters may say, I'm not happy with the candidate we have, but I'm not voting for the Republican, whoever that might be. You know, I think it goes both ways.
That's how we ended up with Biden.
Is what?
That mindset. Anyone but Trump.
Oh, there's no question about that in my mind. Absolutely not. You know, he was going nowhere. At that point, at one point, it looked like Bernie Sanders was going to get the nomination, and the Democrats felt he was not electable because he's too extremely left to get the voters in the middle that any candidate needs to be elected president of the United States, be it Biden, be it Trump, be it any Republican or Democrat. And so in order to head off a Bernie Sanders nomination in South Carolina, there was a major endorsement by Jim Clyburn And he's a very influential member of Congress from South Carolina. And all of a sudden, Biden was not only on the map, but he was on his way to the nomination to stop Bernie Sanders on the nomination and then ultimately considered to be the one who could stop Trump from another term. And that's the way it all went down. Going back, well, I can't do it now. I'll do it in the next hour. We're still getting listener input on the situation with one deputy shooting another to death in Brevard County and the new information. So we'll sit on that. We're talking about DeSantis, who is now a finalist for Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Wow. Next hour. Right now, Alan with the news.
New details on the Brevard deputy shooting and last-minute heroics at Tampa by the GOAT on Monday Night Football. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Delighted to have you with us on the 50,000-watt front porch on a Tuesday morning at 8 as our latest look now comes your way on Central Florida news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, he pulled the trigger twice, more in 1 minute.
The Time Magazine liberals make conservative Ron DeSantis a finalist for their Person of the Year. What's the deal with that? Let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
8:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. New details are surfacing regarding the deadly shooting that killed an off-duty Brevard County Sheriff's Deputy. Larry Spillman reports.
Records show Deputy Andrew Lawson pointed a gun at his roommate, Deputy Austin Walsh, before pulling the trigger twice. Lawson told investigators he thought the gun was not loaded when he jokingly pointed it at his friend. The 23-year-old men were taking a break from playing Call of Duty Saturday morning when a bullet hit Walsh in the head and killed him. Lawson is facing manslaughter charges. Larry Spillman, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
There's a change at the top of the Tampa Police Department. Mayor Jane Castor says Mary O'Connor accomplished a lot during her short tenure as the city's police chief, but in the end, it all came down to upholding department standards.
This is something that our police department, standards that we uphold, professionalism, integrity, ethics, to ensure that the community has that respect and trust of the Tampa Police Department.
O'Connor was asked to resign after body cam video showed her trying to use her position to get out of a ticket during a traffic stop in Pinellas County. In Georgia, Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker are making their final pitches to voters ahead of today's runoff. Trey Thomas has more.
Speaking on MSNBC Monday, Warnock called his opponent unprepared, unqualified, and unfit.
The people of Georgia are showing up, and I think it's because they understand how much is at stake. We've seen record voter turnout.
Walker said on Fox News, not voting means more of President Biden and other Democrats.
And if you vote for Herschel Walker, you're going to get someone that's going to give you a voice in Washington, because I'm going to be with the Georgia people. I always will be with the Georgia people.
Recent polling shows Warnock has a narrow lead in the closely watched runoff. I'm Trey Thomas.
Florida gas prices are still dropping. AAA reports the statewide average price for a gallon of gas is $3.25 a gallon, down another 2 cents today. It's been a struggle for much of the season for Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback Tom Brady, but he found a little of the old magic in Tampa on Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints.
For most of Monday night's NFC South matchup against the Saints, Tom Brady and the Bucks offense looked inept, but trailing 16-3 late in the fourth quarter, Tampa put together two touchdown drives to pick up a 17-16 win. The 45-year-old Brady throwing for scores to cap off each of those drives, with the second TD pass to Rashad White coming with just 3 seconds left in the game.
Underneath, and touchdown! Rashad White!
The win improves the Bucs' record to 6-6 on the season, and Tampa moves a game and a half ahead of Atlanta in the NFC South standings. Meanwhile, it was a crushing blow for the Saints' chances of winning the division. New Orleans dropped to 4-9, now 2.5 games behind the Bucs. I'm Eric Messersmith. Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 8:05. You can find more stories online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News, weather, and traffic
for the smartest audience in talk radio.
News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando, and a very good morning wherever you are, however you're listening to us. We're so glad you're with us here for the final hour of the show this morning. But heading around, Inspector Guy Roberts and Lizzie Steele, and I got to tell you, I watched part of the Bucs game last night, and it was hard to watch. They were just, I mean, it was painful, and I kind of gave up on it, but I never really gave up on Brady and the Bucs. And I recorded it, and I spun through it real quick this morning and saw that incredible comeback. So they're 6-6. Gang, do you remember after 12 games what the Tampa Bay Bucs record was 2 years ago when they went on to win the Super Bowl?
Wow, 2 years ago, bud. That's a long time.
I can't even remember what I had for breakfast.
Yeah, come on.
7-5. 6-6 now. Now, I know this team's not the same team, but I'm just saying, you know, maybe they'll put it all together and figure it out and make a run. But anyway, what an incredible comeback there. It's great to have you with us here this morning. We're going to get into Time Magazine naming Ron DeSantis among its 10 finalists for the Person of the Year, which will be announced tomorrow. How does that happen, given the liberal politics of the people who make those decisions for Person of the Year at Time Magazine, that the rising young Republican conservative governor of Florida makes the top 10? Let's talk about it here, and we will, right after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Headlining the story we're talking about with you again, and here in the 8 o'clock hour, Governor Ron DeSantis is among the 10 finalists for Time Magazine's annual Person of the Year designation. Time cites the governor's clashes with Disney over the so-called Don't Say Gay bill and his November reelection, the landslide over Charlie Crist, called the Republican Party's most significant election win. Time will name its Person of the Year tomorrow morning on the Today Show on NBC. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
How do you explain the liberals at Time Magazine putting conservative Republican governor of Florida Ron DeSantis on their top 10 list for the Person of the Year? What's going on here? 407-916-5400. You tell us. Text line 23680. Make a talk back recording up to 30 seconds with your thoughts, and we'll give it a listen and play it. And you go to the iHeartRadio app to do that. First of all, this is how Time Magazine defines the Person of the Year. The title goes to, quote, "the person or persons who most affected the news and our lives for good or ill and embodied what was most important about the year for better or for worse." Not necessarily a popularity contest in 1938, for God's sakes. Adolf Hitler was the Time Person of the Year just because he was such a consequential figure, even though he was pure evil at that time. Who is on the list of the top 10 that includes Governor Ron DeSantis? Well, I'll tell you. Last year's winner, Elon Musk. Chinese dictator, leader of the Chi-Coms, Xi Jinping. The United States Supreme Court, more on that in a moment, Liz Cheney. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The ex-wife of gazillionaire Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, Mackenzie Scott, who's a noted philanthropist. The protesters trying to bring freedom to the nation of Iran. Then there's DeSantis. Then there is the Treasury Secretary and the former Fed Chair, Janet Yellen. And then, as a group in time in recent years, likes to do groups, gun safety advocates. Okay? So there are the 10, and DeSantis is on this list. I say there is no way Time will ever put him on the cover as the winner. It will never happen. But why did they even make him one of the top 10? I frankly think I think he deserves it, but I know the politics of Time magazine, and that's why I was really, really surprised to see this. I will tell you right now, I think the winner will come from among these three.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Liz Cheney, because Time hates Trump and Cheney hates Trump. I think it could well be Zelensky for the way he has handled the unprovoked war against him by Putin's Russia. And I think it could be the United States Supreme Court, because the peg, according to Time, for them being nominated, the court collectively, is the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which I know they hated politically. And I think it's going to come from those three. It's going to be the Supreme Court, Zelensky, or Cheney. No way it's going to be DeSantis. But how did the governor wind up as a top 10 finalist here? As far as I know, and I can't remember ever anyone from Florida, anyone in any walk of life, being a finalist. I know, because I look back at the list, there's never been a Floridian who was a winner. You're going to say, well, what about Trump in 2016? At that point, his residence was New York. So there we are, gang. What do you think?
Well, as I mentioned earlier this morning, I can't remember the last time I've even read a Time magazine. I don't even, you know, they just don't cross my radar. I have no idea where their political leanings are these days. And I don't know.
I just informed you they are a very liberal rag.
Yes,
period.
I heard you, bud. I heard you.
Well, you said you didn't know, so I thought I'd tell you.
I'm telling you, I don't have personal knowledge. Okay. I'm taking your word for it.
Good.
On this. All right?
Good. Yeah, I'll never steer you wrong, Alan.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody else jump in.
I feel that they're actually just using DeSantis to build a bridge that they've kind of burnt with the Republican side of things. So why not? Yeah. Because then if DeSantis ends up getting in as a president, then there you go. Hey, we friends. We picked you.
Guy, you got a quick take on this?
They're doing it to rile up other Republicans.
Simple as that. Or to maybe look more fair and balanced than we know them to be. You know, just to give the illusion.
Just like Alan, I don't personally know, but I know you told us, but there's no telling why they're doing it.
Yeah, I think it's to appear fair and balanced, which they are not, editorially. There's no question about it. I don't read the actual magazine, what's left of it, but I do read them online. So, you know, that's the truth of Time magazine. How do you account for it here? Do you think DeSantis has a chance to win or be designated person of the year, yes or no? And if not, who do you think will be the winner? I gave you the three most likely in my view. Do you think I have it right, or have you got another idea? Let's talk about it some more, shall we? With an update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes, we greet you on a Tuesday morning at 8:18. Check of headlines for you now. Americans will have more time now to get the so-called real ID necessary to board flights or enter federal facilities. The Department of Homeland Security has announced that the real ID deadline is being pushed back from the 3rd of May of next year to the 7th of May, way out in 2025. The Department of Homeland Security said the extension is necessary to address the lingering impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes on our top stories all morning on Good Morning Orlando.
The new form of broadcast excellence. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, noon to 3 p.m. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Talking about Time Magazine, putting DeSantis on the top 10 list of finalists for its Person of the Year, which will be announced on the Today Show and nationwide television tomorrow. While it is true that Time Magazine is not at all the dominant force that it once was in the heyday of news magazines, there is no doubt about that. But nevertheless, this is something that people expect and they look for. They've been designating a Person of the Year ever since Lindbergh won it the first time in 1927. So what are we looking at? 95 years here. And the fact that it's going to be announced tomorrow on a nationwide television show, the Today Show on NBC, that still has very strong ratings in the morning, is a pretty big deal. And I think it's a great thing for DeSantis, whether or not he has ultimately presidential ambitions for 2024. I mean, he will be, and what he does and what he represents will be exposed to people across the country, perhaps in a way we've not seen before. And it is nothing but to his advantage, in my view. And I think it's amazing when you consider that there's never been a Floridian who has won this designation of Person of the Year. Time Magazine, I don't know if I call it an award, I don't exactly know what you call it, but Person of the Year, it's never happened. The only people with Florida connections, Trump when he became president in 2016, but he didn't live here then. His residence was New York, his primary residence. The Apollo 8 crew that flew around the moon and read from the Bible on Christmas Eve, 1968, Borman and Andrews, and who was the other one? I wrote it down here. Yeah, Jim Lovell. And they're all still around, by the way, which is amazing all these years later. They launched from the Cape, but they didn't live here. So this makes history. I think it's a testament to just what an influential figure Ron DeSantis is. I'm sure politically they despise him in the halls of power at liberal Time Magazine. But maybe they put him on the list, as Lizzie said, just so that, hey, if all of a sudden he takes fire and he gets the presidential nomination, they want to be able to say, hey, you know what? You think we're the evil liberals here, but we put you on the finalist list for Person of the Year, so we can't be too bad. Why don't you come and do an interview with us, Mr. DeSantis, or possibly President DeSantis? Maybe it's about creating an illusion of being more fair and balanced than they genuinely are. Or maybe they just took a look at this guy and you say a 20-point victory in a race for governor, the red wave, the book coming out on the blueprint for a Republican victory across the country, the controversy over the flap with Disney and the flying of the migrants up to Martha's Vineyard, all of that. And Governor DeSantis was a force in 2022, and Time Magazine has historically made him one of their top 10 finalists for Person of the Year. Anybody else with further thinking on this?
Well, I was going to make the point earlier, Bud, that personally, Time Magazine has not been on my radar for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I have no personal knowledge of what their point of view is. I know you told me what it is. But my point is, it's not part of my life, and I don't think it's a part of a lot of people's lives. It is a plus for DeSantis to be mentioned in the top 10 and possibly to be named Person of the Year, just for the publicity standpoint, because while readership is way down of magazines in general, including
right.
Time, this story always gets a lot of publicity and yep. nationwide, and elevates DeSantis to a nationwide personality.
Yeah. And all to his advantage. Interesting what's coming in, Alan, on the text line right now. Let's see. Predictions of either Zelensky or Liz Cheney. Those are two of my favorite three. The U.S. Supreme Court off the overturning of Roe, I think, might be the winner as well. But I would, if I had to decide right now, I'd say Zelensky. I think time would say, you know, this guy, not universally, but across the political spectrum, is viewed very, I think, as something of a hero in the way he has handled the invasion by Russia. And in his beginning, it appears, to turn the whole thing around over there and risking his life being out there, you know, in full view. And as a courageous figure, viewed that way by most people, regardless of their politics, we'll have to see. Another time is nominating DeSantis as an insult to Trump, as an attack on Trump, promoting Trump's rival. There you go. And another from Joe Slime Magazine, as he puts it, nominating a conservative for Person of the Year, just like Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown. Anyway. There we go. Good Tuesday morning, Orlando. The Budman here, turning it over to my co-host, Alan Spector, for a news update to be followed by Elsewhere and Olson on Law. Busy half hour coming for you, buddy.
Hurricane season is over, Bud, but a potential subtropical system is churning in the Atlantic. Richard Pasch with the National Hurricane Center says the low-pressure area does not yet have well-organized circulation.
We're looking at the models. They do suggest that it may try to take on some subtropical characteristics over the next few days. Could certainly acquire the strength of a tropical storm. Winds are near gale, already near gale force, well to the northeast of the center.
Cyclone formation over the next couple of days could happen. There's a 40% chance. Pasch says the potential storm should, however, stay out in the Atlantic. As expected, the Orlando City Council has approved a law that redefines what's a restaurant, a bar, and a nightclub. The council's trying to go beyond security checkpoints with a plan to make downtown Orlando safer. Council members say the new rules allow businesses to be governed by regulations that are unique to them. Brightline is getting additional funding from the federal government for a new safety initiative. Larry Spillman reports.
The grant money of $20,000 will be used for an online campaign to target zip codes that are located on the route of the company's new extension from West Palm Beach to Orlando. The railroad system began testing its trains to go 110 miles an hour in mid-October. Officials want to remind people to follow traffic laws and to stay off of active train tracks. Larry Spillman, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
NASA's Artemis 1 Orion spacecraft has finished a moon flyby maneuver, and now the craft is headed for home, as Fox's Trace Gallagher tells us.
The space agency says the capsule and its test dummies came within 80 miles of the far side of the moon and flew over a couple of Apollo landing sites. Capsule now set to splash down off the coast of San Diego this Sunday.
And if all goes well with this mission, the next big step is expected to put humans in orbit around the moon by 2024. The Magic's losing streak still going. Stretched to 9 straight last night with a 109-102 home setback to the Milwaukee Bucks. Orlando slipping to 5-20 on the season. The Magic hosts the L.A. Clippers tomorrow. WFLA News Time is 8:34. Elsewhere. A beloved singer is gone, but not forgotten. Olivia Newton-John's memory continues to live on thanks to a remastered and deluxe edition of her Greatest Hits Volume 2 album. It features hits like Physical, Magic, and You're the One That I Want, of course, also featuring John Travolta. The album, which was first released 40 years ago, hit shelves in its new edition on January 6th. Olivia died August 8th, and we miss her.
I was about to say, I still do miss her, but boy, that music is great. And you're right, Alan. That's eternal. That just keeps right on going.
Yeah, I like that.
I got to interview her one time, and she is so nice.
Yeah, she's, from all accounts, She's just what you would expect her to be, and that's always nice to find out when you meet a celebrity. Elsewhere,
everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing.
A Bruce Lee biopic is set to be released by Sony. This is like the second story in the week we've had about Bruce Lee all of a sudden. Oscar-winning director Ang Lee will helm the film, and his son Mason Lee will star as the legendary martial arts legend. Bruce Lee died in 1973 at the age of 32, but left a major impact on Hollywood with films like Fist of Fury and Enter the Dragon. Ang Lee has won the Academy Award for Best Director for his films Brokeback Mountain and Life of Pi. No word yet on a release date for the Bruce Lee movie.
Very cool. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. What a physical specimen, the things he could do. Incredible.
I always remember him from the TV series The Green Hornet. Remember, he was Kato, the sidekick.
That's right. Yeah.
And finally, we have another word of the year. Oxford Dictionaries is announcing its word of the year for 2022, goblin mode.
What?
What?
I know, I had the same reaction.
We both said it at the same time, guy. What? Yeah, what is that?
It's actually two words. So it's actually words of the year, goblin mode. Now, this was chosen by the public from three different options that were voted on over a two-week period. It defines the term as a type of behavior which is unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly, or greedy, typically in a way that rejects social norms or expectations. Wondering what the other finalists were?
Yes.
Metaverse was one.
Yeah.
And hashtag I stand with. Again, four words this time. I mean,
yeah.
What?
Come on. Word of the year. Should be one word.
Yes,
I agree. Is that too much to ask, Oxford Dictionary?
And we already had the what was the word? You had it a week or so ago.
Yeah, but that was a whole week ago, bud. I mean,
doggone it. All right, our listeners, we're going to test the loyalty of our listeners. Tell us what the word of the year was that we reported on a week ago.
Yeah,
we can't remember.
It was the other dictionary, Merriam-Webster, and what their word of the year was.
Gaslighting.
Gaslighting, that's it.
That's it. We can still do this.
Awesome.
Okay.
Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. Listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector, I'm back with attorney Tom Olson. It's Olson on Law after an update of news, weather, and traffic right here on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlining a national story we're following for you, the FBI is helping to investigate a massive power outage in North Carolina, believed to have been caused by a targeted attack. Authorities say nearly 40,000 people are without power and running water in Moore County, North Carolina, after police say electrical equipment was shot at on Saturday night by people the police say knew exactly what they were doing. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
And now for our weekly look at legal issues in the news with our in-house legal expert, attorney Tom Olson. This is Olson on Law.
Hey, everybody. It's Alan Spector back with attorney Tom Olson. Every Tuesday and Thursday at this time, Tom joins us for Olson on Law. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Alan and crew and WFLA listeners.
All right. Tom, our topic this morning, if you have a parrot or a kitty or a hamster or a snake or a zebra, can any of these legally be a service animal? You know, it seems that everyone, Tom, wants to call their pet a service animal these days, often so they can take it on an airplane with them. So who gets to decide what is a service animal?
The Americans with Disabilities Act is a federal law, and Florida largely adopts those provisions in its own statutes.
All right, drum roll, please. What is the final answer on what can be a service animal?
Under both federal and Florida law, service animals are limited to dogs and miniature horses.
So what are some of the disabilities that qualify you to have a service animal?
Guiding the blind, seizure alert, calming someone with PTSD. However, simply providing comfort or emotional support would not qualify as a service dog.
So if you're a business and you're questioning whether a dog is a service animal, what can you ask the customer?
Is the dog required because of a disability? And two, what work or task has the dog been trained to perform? The staff or business cannot ask about the person's disability or require them to show medical documentation or require special identification for the dog or ask for a demonstration of the task.
Is there a penalty for someone calling their dog or other or a miniature horse a service animal when it really is not?
There's a penalty for both sides. So if you're a business and you deny the service animal, or if you've got a dog and you call it a service dog when it's not, both of those are second-degree misdemeanors.
All right. If you have legal questions about this or anything else or about any animal in particular, Tom will be happy to answer them on the Olson on Law show. You know, that's now heard Saturdays at 10 a.m. right here on News Radio WFLA Orlando. And you can catch Tom and me on Zoom live or later at WFLAOrlando.com. Tom, thanks very much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Alan.
And remember, for all of your legal needs, call the Olson Law Group in Orlando.
News Radio WFLA Orlando and iHeartRadio want to send you and three of your closest friends on a VIP holiday trip to New York City to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That includes your airfare, hotel accommodations, a special Christmas dinner, and a $1,000 holiday shopping spree. Plus, you're going to get front row tickets to the show, and that's from our friends at Wild Child Touring. Just download and open the free iHeartRadio app and listen to Trans-Siberian Orchestra Radio to become an instant finalist. And for more information, you go to WFLAOrlando.com and click on the contest tabs. And happy holidays from News Radio WFLA Orlando.
What an incredible prize package that is. Merry Christmas to you from all of us at News Radio WFLA. I've got to ask a question about that Olson and Law segment about only dogs and miniature horses are considered to be legitimate service animals. I totally get it with dogs, you know? I mean, because they provide unconditional love psychologically, and when needed, can be trained to do a variety of things for somebody who is physically impaired. But I don't understand how you could put a miniature horse in the same category.
Can you imagine a miniature horse on the plane with you?
Yeah. And that's become a problem in some cases. Does anybody think that a miniature horse is legitimate alongside a dog as a legally recognized service animal? You know, when, say, cats are not, and birds or whatever? I don't get it with the miniature horses. Does that fit? Does that work? I mean, am I missing something about what comfort and assistance a miniature horse can provide somebody that clearly a dog can? I don't get it. That's why we have the smartest audience in talk radio here. Why don't you give us a call or hit the text line or make a talk back or something? And we're going to wrap things up. We got a lot to talk about here, even though we're getting close to 9 o'clock. And I hope you ride with us right to the finish line after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic. Once again, here in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando at 8:48. Headlining one of our stories that we'll be looking for today and talking about with you tomorrow, Georgia voters headed to the polls today. The polls already open for the state's U.S. Senate runoff election between Democrat Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker. Recent polls show a tight race with a margin of about 2 points. Warnock ahead of Walker, but within the margin of error. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories throughout the morning right here on Good Morning Orlando.
News, weather, and traffic for the best audience in talk radio. This is Good Morning Orlando on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Morning, Sky Roberts. The stuff they don't want you to know podcast, well, they have something that they do want you to know. Hosts Matt, Ben, and Noel published a book covering some of the fascinating things that they discuss on their show, so you can get the same smart, witty, conversational style stuff you love on the Stuff They Don't Want You to Know book, and it's available everywhere books are sold.
Good stuff there. Alan, when you did the segment with Tom Olson, Olson on Law, were you at all surprised to learn that legally, not only is a dog, could a dog be a service animal? I think we all get that, that you can train them, they're a source of comfort, unconditional love, etc., but that miniature horses are in the same category, and that's it.
I was surprised, but then again, I'm not an expert on mini equines. So
I asked if anybody could explain that here, and here is what one texter wrote in. The main task that most miniature horses are trained in is guiding the blind, just like dogs. Well, there you go. Another says, you know, but I'm with you. I don't get the horse thing on planes. It's just strange to say the least. And another texter said, you know, some people, I think, take advantage of that rule for the service dog. I have a funeral home, the texter writes, and one time a lady brought in her service dog, it was a Great Dane, and the dog did its business on the floor and slobbered all over the furniture. I don't know, man.
That's... Well, that's not a real service.
Well, I guess it is of a sort.
Not even entertaining.
You know, it's crazy. I don't know. I think the category of dogs makes sense to me. I don't understand. Somebody lobbied for the horses, but I mean, what a terrible inconvenience that is for everybody else if you have a horse on a plane. And I've seen a few photographs too, you know? I mean, and you can pretty well potty train a dog. Can you do that with a horse, or is a dog going to do its business when a dog's going to do it? Do you know that? Lizzie, I know you've owned horses. Can you train a horse not to go until the flight's over?
You know what? I don't think I've ever done that, but you could. You can train a horse and an animal to do just about anything.
Well, it depends on the animal. Certainly you can do that with dogs. How about it, Guy? Does the miniature horse category as service animal surprise you in any way?
Nothing surprises me anymore, but now I want one.
Oh, geez. That's good. That's good. That's all we need, Lizzie, is to have a horse in the control room with you and Guy.
You guys would have a problem with that?
No, not me. That'll be just fine.
Okay. I'll tell my lawyer to back him down.
Well, you know, in all fairness, we all, from time to time on this show, need some emotional support, bud.
Yes, indeed we do. Yes, indeed we do. A little review of the show to let you know where we've been. If you haven't been able to be with us all the way since 6 o'clock this morning, we've taken a couple of whacks at the surprising designation of Governor Ron DeSantis as a top 10 finalist for Time Magazine's Person of the Year, and they will announce the winner tomorrow. It's amazing to me that the liberals from Time Magazine put such a conservative in that category, but there's no way that he'll win it. And we talked about the other nominees. I think if I had to put my money down, it would be for the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, for how he has led his country heroically to hold off the Russians in the war. Could be Liz Cheney, could be the United States Supreme Court over the overturning of Roe. We'll see how it all happens, because I think they're going to make the announcement when we're on the air tomorrow during the NBC Today show. So I may have to have one eye on the television set. We also talked about new information on the fatal shooting of one Brevard County Sheriff's deputy by another, and the idea that they pulled the trigger not once, but twice. Does that call into question whether or not this just was purely an accident? I guess there'll probably be more information to come, and it would be nice if we had some information on drug and alcohol tests to see if maybe somehow substance abuse might have played a factor. and also the new ordinance for the Orlando City Council and the mayor that was passed yesterday that they think is going to enhance safety for folks who go out for a night on the town. I just don't see it taking us in that direction, although I am all for safer nightlife in Orlando and anywhere else. And here on Good Morning Orlando as well. It's always great to have you with us for Alan and for Guy and for Lizzie, the Bud Man. We'll see you tomorrow morning from 6 until 9. It's a beautiful day. Go out and make it a beautiful day for you. Thank you. God bless you and God bless America.
Hey, if you missed any portion of today's show, check out our podcast at WFLAOrlando.com. And while you're there, try to win yourself something.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.